So welcome back to another Productivity Like a Pro podcast episode, and with our members in the background chatting and asking questions, that will be another amazing thing. We have a very interesting topic that we want to tackle today, and that also brought up controversial discussions between Paco and me over and over again. And I thought, we thought this needs to be settled once and for all.
Correct.
Time tracking. Is it worth it? When should you do it? What are the use cases? Shouldn't you do it at all? And that's what we will dive in today. I think it will be a very interesting topic. It's a lot we can talk about. And let's dive into this. So to bring up some context, Paco,
yeah.
I speak for you.
Great,
you don't believe
you.
In time tracking.
I'm leaving.
Paco, you don't believe in time tracking at all. But after 1.5 years with Tom, emphasizing, repeating things about certain aspects, maybe there are some cracks in this hard wall to better understand why I'm doing time tracking. And well, I think to dive into this, I will just start talking about when I do time tracking. And then we will see how you as a multi-business owner do survive without time tracking. So time tracking is really something controversial, something I suffered as well working corporate with time tracking, that you have to, well, it was okay as you were, I was just stamping my time when you arrive, when you leave and things like that. Then running the paperless movement, I was building up a team and there we used Toggle for time tracking. And there was already the goal. Why I implemented this was not to see what people do on per minute, you know, and stalk them and ensure that they are worth their money. For me, from day one onwards, it was always understanding how much time certain activities take. And that's something that I kept doing until today in certain areas. And the very specific use case here is video editing, video creation, publishing, all these things. That I keep tracking the time to understand on average how long does it take to create a certain type of video. That's one type of time tracking. I started to differentiate then between recording time, editing time, and all this. And this gave me now an idea, now that we start working with another company for the video editing part, to get an understanding what to expect for the turnaround times, what are usual rates, especially if you have no understanding how long something takes and how to optimize things. If something is really a lot of friction, and video editing is the best example there, because we had video editors in the past and there was a lot of back and forth until the video was finished. Therefore, the conversations or the collaboration work was also time consuming. That's why I went back doing the videos all myself. But we want to publish a lot more videos. So the process in the past 1.5 years was me tracking time, understanding exactly the work stream process by process step, identifying the parts that are better done by me that could be outsourced, then understanding how to optimize these processes in order to streamline it. And for example, something I identified as one of the bottlenecks is adding effects and animations. Although I love them, they're the most time consuming things. Even if I just add a lower third or an intro animation or something like that, it's just adding a file to the video. It sums up over time. And especially if you want to scale the whole thing. That's why I kept reducing these animations and we kept publishing. I even increased the length of the time of the video without any animations. And we still saw an increase of views and engagement and things like that. So we identified places where it was really not worth it adding all these bells and whistles to the videos, where we still able to deliver the content that what we want to say. It's not, we are not an entertainment channel. We need to get our iCore methodology across to help people, especially busy professionals, to improve their productivity system end to end. And that's what we still do in these videos. Therefore, to me, this was highly useful. That was one use case. I was able to highly optimize, find better tools that make the process faster. How could I record, and also the rendering processes and repurposing stuff, all these things. Well, that could be a own video on its own, just showing the video editing process there. And then another thing is, it's a bit of the opposite. It's the Parkinson's law thing that I leveraged there. I like when I start to work, to do deep work, to set up a timer. And this timer might be, depending on how much I want to work, might be even 2 hours. But I know I say, okay, I set the timer to 2 hours and I want to focus on this work to write a script or to make the editing or something like that. Many like Paco, he doesn't need this, but I like this to see this timer. And then I get an idea, okay, that's what I achieved. And well, we are just 15 minutes in. That gives me a motivation that I say, well, that's actually going faster than I thought. But also finding the end, when I record a video and I say that can't be longer than 15 minutes and I free talking, then I know exactly, okay, the time is going on. Well, this is the sensation that I don't believe in Pomodoro. That's something I think is stupid. 25 minutes, you haven't done anything in this time compared to the interruption. If I'm 25 minutes into deep work and then I get a timer telling me you have to make a break now for 5 minutes and I'm killing my momentum, something that we strongly believe in iCore, then this is nonsense. Also, if my 2 hour timer runs out, well, then I hit repeat or I stop it and I just keep working. Right? That's just to get an idea of how my overall time goes. Paco, the third one would be automation. But that's something we dive into after I let you give you some words. Otherwise, I do the whole session myself here. But from your perspective as a business owner,
That time tracking is something that it's pretty personal. I think that there are some variables you have to take into account, for instance, the type of work that you do. I mean, when I refer to I've never used time tracking is because the way I do the things, it doesn't give me any value. You know, when you have a productivity system in place that works perfectly, you don't need to time track anything because you know perfectly that you are dedicating the right amount of time to the things. Based on that, why the hell do I want to track? Because for me, it doesn't give me any information. If I've been inside Arc, I don't know, for 3 hours, it's because I should be doing that. If I've been, I don't know, managing my email for 4 hours, the point is the type of person you are and the type of work that you develop. Obviously, if you want to detect or know the amount of time, the time length that you dedicate to asserting a pretty specific job, then obviously, but for me, that's not time tracking. For me, time tracking is all the world around, first off, developers, for instance, to see if they are coding or they are not coding, you know, this automated system that whenever you are not touching your keyboard or your trackpad or mouse, then it's disconnected. And based on that, you generate invoices and all that type of things. Or people who use time tracking to detect, oh, I've been dedicating, I don't know, 5 hours to web browsing. I should reduce that. Well, for me, it's not the case. That's why I say that it's pretty personal. For instance, the automated reports that the iPhone generates, for instance, talking about the time that you spend in each application is something useless for me. Because for me, my schedule is, well, pretty straightforward. You know, I have some certain blocks of focus time. For instance, the main one is from 8:30 in the morning till 11 o'clock. That's a moment that I dedicate to the type of job that needs my whole energy, talent, and freshness. Then I start working because in my case, the shallow work becomes overwhelming. Okay. It seems that shallow work is not important, but it depends on your position. You know, if I delay, and that's something that I suffer a lot, because the moment that I need to dedicate more time to other things apart from shallow work, the pile of work dedicated to shallow work is huge, huge. I'm talking about many things, you know, many things, people waiting for me, things I need to replay, meetings I need to attend. And in that craziness, it doesn't make any sense, any time tracking at all, because your day says it all. You know, you perfectly know your priorities and then you dedicate the time to the things that you consider that they deserve it. On top of that, what else can I add? Well, the point of the Parkinson law, that for me is critical. You know, for example, one of the things I do is I write every day and I just dedicate that initial time block that I have referred previously, the first time in the morning, 2.5 hours that I dedicate to that. And I know that at the end, that's it. Okay, that's the best outcome. I don't force the things. I don't go 1 minute beyond that 11 hours. It is what it is, and that's it. It's only if it's not writing an article or it's something I'm writing something for a course or whatever, and I consider that I can push half an hour because it's worth it, because of the momentum that you have just mentioned, then I do it. And if not, that's it. And the rest of my time management thing is another time focus. First thing in the afternoon, that's it, shorter, okay, just 1 hour to give the rest of energy, okay? And then that's how I schedule the things. I don't put the exact time that I will do each thing or each task. For me, it's just an orientation. I will do this in the morning, and then I will do this in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, if something hasn't been done, then I delay for the next day. And that's it. For me, that's the simplest way I have found to survive. And that's why, for me, time tracking is something that I've never used. I have tried, just out of curiosity. But at the end, I think that for my type of job, it's something that you don't find the sense. No? Because, of course, I've never talked about manually time tracking, because for me, that's something that I've tried many times, and it's something that it's horrendous. You press play, and then you forget, oh, there was a timer there. And, well, people who are managing different timers, and then... It depends on your reality. My reality is kind of chaotic during the day. It's just a matter of knowing your priorities and dedicating the time that you consider based on your experience. I think that experience is another killer of this type of apps, because the moment that you know, maybe even for the specific use case that you have described, you're taking it to the limit, okay? But if not, if it depends on you, you more or less have an idea that, well, the recording takes 1 hour, the editing half an hour, then another one, more or less, I know that between two hours and a half, I know that more or less I have the output, the outcome, and that's it. You don't need to control every day, because the moment that, I don't know, you know, for instance, talking about articles, I will recently publish the article number 300 on Medium, for instance. So you can imagine that for me, it's crystal clear for me the time I need to create the draft, to edit, to publish, to everything, because I've done it for 4 years in a row. And it's a process. It has become a habit. And for a habit, you don't need time tracking at all.
Yeah.
And well, that's it.
That's it. But I think there's still more to say. So, and that's the conclusion, that Paco and I are actually a lot more aligned when it comes to time tracking than it seems on the surface, because the foundation behind this, we both have the same mindset, which is prioritization. So we both know what we need to do during the day. And I emphasized already, I'm doing time tracking. As Paco said, I'm bringing it to the limits as I'm really trying to get out of a few minutes here, a few minutes there. So we really leverage the time at its best. The advantage of this type of time tracking, or to get an idea, I mean, I published, what is it now? 430 videos on the YouTube channel already. You get an idea how long it takes.
Yes, two or three.
That's more the thing. I already had an idea, man. This takes one day, that might take 2 days and things like that. But there are two things. I was working already with video editors in the past. And I always say, I want to get an understanding, at least a basic understanding of what the expert I'm paying for does. So they cannot bullshit me with anything. They say, man, I need 2 weeks for doing this. And especially in the gaming industry with the game developments and so on, you saw a lot of things where in the past there were two developers pushing out the game within a few months, and now they take years. And then it's a bullshit because everybody is working for months on simple things. And I saw it now working in pharma industry, in corporate, the same thing. People overestimate how long they need, because they are so scared then if they don't meet the timeline. That's the same for project planning, where they say, well, we need so long. Then somebody comes in and says, no, you can do this in 2 years, which is then too short. Then they cut the budget. So there's no understanding of what is going on. And then we had a lot of members in the Paperless Movement asking, how do I estimate time? I know I can, when I do a project or anything like that, how do I understand how long something will take? And that's how you do it. You have to measure it. And this only works with recurring things. And that's what I did also incorporate when we've been working on complex projects with multiple departments working together. Even then, it's possible to get a basic understanding how long this will take, certain process steps, if you first understand the different process steps in a project. That's surprisingly very rare that people actually understand what they are doing during a project as they are filling up the things when it comes. And then that's what should be in a lessons learned. So when you finish a project, there's usually a lessons learned, and they come together and say what worked, what didn't work. Then I don't know where it is written up, if it is written up at all. And then they launch the other project, the next one, which is very similar to the previous one, and you start from completely scratch. And then that's something you mentioned. It comes from experience. Then you have an old developer sitting in there, you know, close to retirement, and they tell you, well, this will take forever, or this will go very quickly. And then you have other people bringing their experience. So instead of writing down the lessons learned and then using this as a starting point for the next project, so you have a much better estimation, it should be never going down down to the minute, obviously, because that's not possible, but to get an understanding. And I was working with a developer. He made this very nice. He is a freelancer developing. And he says, when I ask for a feature, he always asks himself, will it take more or less than a day? Will it take more or less than a week? Will it take more or less than a month? More or less than a year. And that's what he gave him, just an understanding how about the complexity of what he needs to create there. And then it's not like it will take me 2.5 days. No, it is more than 1 day, but it is less than 1 week. And that's already a good understanding to give an estimate. How much will it cost? How much time will it be involved? And how complex is a project overall? And I think these are places where time tracking and time tracking to get a standard idea. When you have no idea how long you actually need for things, and then give the estimates away. The other thing is that you mentioned is the automatic time tracking. Well, the manual time tracking is really a friction. That's why, you know, that's where I don't track any other work that we do in the paperless movement, because I know exactly what I need to do and I will finish it. When it's finished, then it's finished. And I know that I did my best there. But for manual time tracking, how many times I stopped the timer 3 days later? Okay. And then I go back and I say, okay, I uploaded the video there, and then I adjust the timing and things like that. So this is really a hard time also when you have freelancers that you hire, then you have to pay them and then force them to do time tracking. Consider the administrative work they have to do for the time tracking itself. That's also something. But for the automatic time tracking, I was using, I think, since 2015, Rescue Time, that was just running on my Mac and on my Windows machine. And therefore, I just, in the end of the year, I looked it up because I found it interesting to look at these dashboards and as a man, look at these 1,000 hours into video editing, but also a few hours into gaming. You know, that's really the thing where you get the understanding as well. But I never used this to adjust my timing. It was just out of curiosity and loving databases and diagrams and seeing the fancy stuff, end of year reports. And then I made the reaction video about Ali Abdaal's video where he mentioned that he uses Rise for time tracking. And therefore, it looks so fancy. And I thought that could replace the Rescue Time that I just set up and forget. And I installed Rise and I was really impressed about UI, UX and all the features they offer you with the AI and smart breaks and things like that. Man, 1 week in, I uninstalled it completely because it was so annoying. We've been in the Inner Circle cohort session and Rise tells me 1 hour into the session, pops up and says, do you want to start a deep learning session or something like that? And I said, man, this is not, that's just interrupting. That's like notifications popping up, getting you out of momentum and things like that. So if I use Rise, then it would be just again for automatic tracking the background. But then to me, it is also, I'm not looking up these things anymore. And therefore, I don't even use Rescue Time anymore because, well, I know now what I'm working on and whatnot. Right.
Anyway, I think that this approach to time management or this time tracking thing, something that is useful is that it forces you to think about time. And then you try to micro split a certain process to see the different parts. And based on that, you can polish your workflow. And this is something, for instance, that I've improved because, for instance, I used to edit, write, make all the processes, okay, all the different processes that it's in my workflow of writing. And I was able to split in a certain task to move them to some other day or to some other hour of the day or whatever. And based on that, I have improved the time slot that I dedicate to certain parts of the processes of that workflow. And that's something curious. It's really nice because, for instance, let's say that, for instance, I just have an idea, I quickly outline, and for instance, I have three different ideas, and then I take that focus time that I have mentioned previously in the morning just to outline three different ideas, and then I have the backbone, and based on that, then in the afternoon calmly, I can develop another one, and then that merge, the moment that you really control and know a certain workflow, you can do many different things to improve it based on the detecting this smaller tasks that they are inside any process. And that I think that the moment that you start thinking about time and dedicating the right energy at the right moment and the right time length, I think that's something that can be useful because time tracking takes you to, for instance, like you have done, analyze the time that you dedicate for a certain process that you are repeating and you perfectly know the different stages, and then trying to move any of those stages to some other part of the day or some other area or whatever, trying to combine and batch the same workflow but for different pieces of content, for instance, and then you can do that batching that it's quite useful also to develop a lot of content or outcomes using the same brain processes. I think that that's something that is useful too. And well, I think that the moment that you start being focused on the workflows and the different steps that you follow in any process, I think that's a time well invested, because at the end, you will better know the workflow itself. And based on that, you can estimate much better. Because the moment you say, man, for editing, man, I know that for editing, I shouldn't consume more than X. Well, that's conclusions that you can draw after analyzing deeply and the different processes that you are doing. And some other recommendation, just analyze the things that you think are going to repeat, because if you're just going to do something one, it doesn't make any sense. This makes sense for things that you're going to repeat that are part of what we call a work stream on iCore, and based on that is how you, because measuring things that you're not going to repeat in the future, for me, I don't see the use case, you know. The idea of time tracking is trying to optimize the things, and well, based on things that randomly appear, quite difficult, because also, for instance, there are meetings. I go into meetings that it's really difficult to know the time that I will end them. It depends on many different variables that I don't control. And based on that, well, you can imagine, no, any emergency or any urgent thing that it's really urgent, okay, that needs to for you to dedicate the time. I think that the position in your company says it all. No, it's like people that say, man, I don't know, for instance, email, who's managing a lot of time for email when you got a Slack, when you can put comments in project management? Well, there are CEOs that their work, 90% is managing mails. They need to manage mail, or people who are fundraising. I don't know. You know, there are many people for where certain processes are key elements. And based on that, well, what they need to do is to choose the right tool for that process that is taking, well, 80% of his time, no? And it depends. But I think that more or less the type of profiles of PC professionals that come to us have a crystal clear idea of their processes, talking about what they need to do, their priorities, but in an overall picture or in a big picture, and based on iCore is how they can put it in the right place and implement the system to help them a lot. And
yeah,
that's what I think.
That's the point of the Automation Like a Pro, course and the iCore journey, where we dive into work streams, as you mentioned. And to quickly understand this, we say work streams, they contain several workflows, business workflows, and a workflow consists of several processes, and each process is based on a SOP, standard operating procedure. And that's something that, well, not many busy professionals have in place when they join, but also it's not so easy to create these business workflows from scratch or being aware of them. That's why we place the Automation Like a Pro course in the end of the iCore journey, because by better understanding the different parts of a productivity system, it is much easier to understand then how to lay out processes and what is actually an end-to-end process that I have there. But that's a crucial thing. So we can sum up this talk here that the time tracking that we say is not necessary is running on autopilot on the background based on routines, based on recurring tasks that you do, that you have a feeling about, and especially based on priority. So you know exactly what to do next or right now. And you know, when you do this, for example, shallow work versus deep work, there is a time tracking, if you like, because you give it a certain time window per day. So you're not taking the whole day to work only on shallow work. So there's always one goal in the day or highlight of the day that you want to accomplish. And that's usually deep work. These are all recurring every day. And therefore, we know what to work on every day and when to work. Also, the energy level is also kind of time tracking. I work on this type of thing with this energy level so and so long. So it's the conclusion out of time tracking. And I think that's the importance here, that you don't need time tracking tools anymore. Once you have your workflow set up, you know exactly how to work through recurring stuff. And once you have your priorities in place. For those who go through the iCore journey, they and also watch the Project Management Like a Pro course, there you see the overlap as we similarly combine to the work streams. So we have a task as the only action item, and then several tasks will be collected in a project, and several projects will be collected in a goal. And therefore, We have the same thing with the work streams. It's just reducing complexity by collecting them in higher entities. Well, we have to see it visually to easier explain it, but I think these are the understandings you have to keep in mind.
For sure, for sure. And for me, to summarize all the things that we have just said, for me, it's critical that this time tracking becomes second nature. When you are based on your intuition, when you run things on autopilot because your productivity system is telling you everything effortlessly, then it's the moment that you have perfectly implemented the time tracking strategy you need to dedicate to the things the time they deserve. And that's it. Also, based on simplicity, you know, the moment that you base your things and everything in life, I think, in your common sense, everything works fine. And that's the ultimate purpose of any productivity system, is that it works based on your common sense. And when you achieve that situation, you just need to get things done, and that's it.
Exactly. Well, in this case, I think we talked a lot back and forth about time management and hopefully gave you guys a different perspective on this. That, again, like with everything in a productivity system, there are different perspectives on the same thing. If somebody talks about task management, there are several facets about this. Same for note taking, and the same applies to time management. And therefore, I hope this was helpful. If there are not any further questions in the chat, then we will meet you guys next time, next Monday. Have a great time, guys.
See you.